Go ahead and open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's where we're going to be. There are 68 verses, and I want you to know we're not going to preach all 68 of them. If I did, I'd finish about 9:30 or 10 o'clock tonight, and I've got to get back because isn't there a NASCAR race, you know, sometimes before then? No, I'm joking about that. There may be one, but that's not what it is. This is an important chapter. Why? Because it tells us about God's blessing and God's cursing of people. His nature has not changed. And if you want to understand God, here is a chapter that will give you if you want your children to understand God, if you want your grandchildren to understand God, you'd better tell them at least parts of these things in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you're not going to open up your Bible, you're not going to see that X-rated part of this sermon I'm not going to talk about because we've got a lot of young children here. But it's pretty graphic in the description that it gives, of especially when he curses his people and their response to his cursing. But let me introduce the sermon, and it'll take us a few minutes to get to Deuteronomy 28, but I hope you've got your Bible open there. You may want to mark some of these verses and highlight some of the things that are in it. If you knew you were going to die, who would you like to talk to? You think about family members, you think about others. Would you like to talk to them? Moses writes this book, the entirety of the book. Chapter 1, verse 3 says it's on the first day of the 11th month. If we talk about an English calendar and the Jewish calendar and the English calendar, the one we use, are not the same. But it's November the 1st. Moses is about ready to die, and he is within days of dying. And he's got a chance to talk to some people. He's got his own children who likely are there. You know, there are many people he's known for 40 years, and he gets a chance to talk to them one more time. Like to talk to your family? Is there something you'd like to say? What parting words would you like for your children to give to them? You may not understand and appreciate this, but there are members of this congregation who have in past written messages to be given to their children. I've been the courier of some of those messages. Your mom or your dad wanted you to have this, and I want to give you a copy of it. I remember when my uncle died the day of the funeral. His wife brought a letter from my grandmother. That's the one I talked about, you know. They got that message from the guy in Germany, and her son who was in Germany in World War II. She called him every day and talked to him about the spirituality of his life. And the day of her funeral, his wife walked in and says, "Mama made me promise to give this to you on this day. You want it this morning before the funeral or after the funeral?" What would you say? Let me ask it another way. What if you could talk to everybody in this nation? Are there some messages you'd like to deliver to the nation? Are there some folks in Washington that need to learn how to listen to those of us whom they look at sometimes as being ignorant and unlearned? Are there some messages we'd like to give to the entire nation? That's amazing. How would you like to be at that point in your life that what you say at the end of your life would be read for thousands of years? We have a message for Moses, written 3,500 years ago. And Moses has a chance to give a message. what would you say? Well, we're not to Deuteronomy 28, but would you not begin to talk to them about doing what God says? Moses talks about that in the verses that we'll look at tonight. But wouldn't this be a great verse to teach your little children? You've got children, grandchildren that are very, very young. Can I tell you a verse that Mary taught Jesus? And he lived by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's part of this message. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus, because he was tempted like we are, God didn't just zap that verse into his head, otherwise he wasn't tempted like we are. You know, God doesn't zap verses in our heads, does he? And yet, when Jesus was tempted, what about man shall live by every word? If you looked at that word every, would you like to say to your children, you don't come to the Bible like you go to the supermarket. You don't get to pick and choose. Man lives, but he doesn't live unless he pays attention to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus memorized that one. What about, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus learned that verse some way, somehow, someplace, sometime. Somebody in his life taught him, here's something that'll help you in your life. Young people, even small children can learn this verse. You shall worship the Lord your God, and he's the only one you need to serve. What about? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. People try to see how close to the edge they can live. How close to sin can I get? And sometimes we get in that gray area and we just get too far over to the away from where the Lord is and trying to get as close to the edge as we can so we just won't go to hell. We don't want to slip and slip into hell. Wait a minute. Are we tempting God to say, God, do you really mean that? Would you not tell them, you're not to add to the Bible, take away from the Bible. Moses is dying. You know, in the first year of Moses' 40th life, Miriam has died. January, to use our calendar, not a Jewish calendar, their calendar starts in the spring, right around Easter. But if we think about Miriam dying in January, and Aaron has died in May. And now we're here to November. And Moses has a chance to say to whatever family members of his that were still there, has a chance to say to the nations, and he has a chance to give a final message to us. What would you say? I believe one of the things you teach them about is God. You look at the word God in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's just found again and again all the way through this book. And so whenever you get to chapter 28, Moses is going to talk to this Jewish nation about how God will bless them abundantly. That was what the scripture reading was about tonight, wasn't it? Did you remember that verses, those verses that were, did you pay attention to it? That's what this lesson's about. God's going to bless his people. But he wants to talk to them about not just the goodness of God, but the importance of doing what God says. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. We say it this way, God is not mocked. We say it this way because it's the way the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And fall in the hands of one of those idols, Don't worry about it. But to fall into the hands of the living God is a fearful thing. And so he, in this chapter, talks about blessings and cursings. Let's look at the text. They've already been read. But I've highlighted some things in this text so that you might see it. In verse 1, the words highlighted are, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Conditional. Well, he's a good God. Good God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Where'd you learn that? If you do these things. And this first part of this chapter is tied directly to this if. There's another if when you get down to about verse 15 or 16. But here's this one. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe, you see the word all? Is that all in every word? Yeah. That you carefully obey, observe all the commandments which I command you today, this day, the Lord your God will bless you above all nations. Now let's call time out for just a moment and understand. God dealt with that Jewish nation in physical ways. He was a God who could see the blessings physically. And he said to them that if you're having bad trouble in your life, it's because you've got trouble in your life and it's your fault. Because you're not doing what God said. But he's got there before them lies the land that flows with milk and honey. And so the Lord said, you go into that city. All these blessings, in verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Overtake you. What's that have to do? Harvesting? You plant your crop. You're ready to harvest the crop, and you've got such an abundance in that crop. Before you can get last year's crop, you get this year's blessings harvested and brought in, the new blessings come. And there's so many blessings that the blessings overtake you because you don't have time to get all of the blessings that lie in front of you. And then he says, and I've enlarged in print, and I don't know if you'll be able to see. I'm not sure if you can read these words on the screen. Look at verse 3. He'll bless you in the city. Look at the last word. In the country. He'll bless the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, increase of cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. The basket's where the bread is there, and he's not only blessed you with daily bread, the bread that you're getting ready tomorrow, that's a blessed bread. And then he says, when you come in and when you go out. God, Moses, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about the nature of our God. And he talks to them about physical blessings. And at the end of this lesson, we're going to talk about he deals with us with spiritual blessings. And they're far greater than these physical blessings he gave to that nation. Look at the next slide. Look in verse 7. If your enemies rise up against you, they'll be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they'll run away. Now, you remember he promised them that when the enemies came against you, they would. If you're serving him, the enemies try to come in. They won't even fight against you on the Sabbath day. Why? The Lord doesn't want you to violate the Sabbath day. It's a rest day. If you'll do what he says. He blessed, verse 8, your storehouses. It's in this land your God is giving you. He blesses, verse 9, a holy people that he has for himself. If, there it is again, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in them, and all of the people of the earth shall call you by the name of Jehovah. The name of the Lord. Do we not wear our Lord's name? And the Lord said, you will be envied by the people of this, and they will call you by those who are called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of you. He'll give you plenty of goods. He will bless the fruit of your bodies, the increase of your stock, the produce of the ground, the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers. The Lord will open up his treasures, the heavens, and give you rain to your land in its season to bless all the works of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you'll always have so much money you won't have to borrow if you keep his commandments. I dealt with them physically. You want to keep looking? The Lord will open up, verse 12, we look at it again, his good treasures, the heavens, the rain that comes is the blessing, and it blesses all the works of your hands. See the word all? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That's rather interesting. You stop and think about it. You know, we honor the people who are the head of the class, the head of the nation, the head of what you name it. And he said, you'll be the head. And these nations, they'll be the tail. And then he says, you will always be above. You will never be below. You're always going to be blessed more than anybody on this earth. If, and there it is again, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any. You remember the words every? Remember the words all? And now here's the word any. Every one of them. You shall not turn from any of the words which the Lord has commanded you today. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Verse 15, next slide. It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord. There's a second if. And we're not going to put all of these verses that are there, because what he does, he almost, you know, cuts and paste. You know what that's like if you don't use computers? It's as though that he did a search and replace type of thing, and everywhere he's had the word blessing, he now puts the word cursed. We're not going to go back and read of that, but all of these blessings will become cursings. And then he says, and that's not the end of it. There will be so many other curses that come upon you. He specifically talks about, you remember those plagues down there in the land of Egypt? Remember how bad they, you remember how the Egyptians suffered? I'm going to bring all of the plagues of the Egypt upon you if you don't do what I tell you to do. And you begin looking at some of these things in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it really becomes remarkable as you begin reading this. He says to them, look down at verse 31. He says, your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes. You shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from you, and shall not be restored to you, shall be given to your enemies, and you will have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people, and your eyes shall look with longing for them all day long, but there's no strength at your hand. I'm going to curse you. Hear the words. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Behold them, not the severity of God. That's not what this lesson is all about. And if you walk away from this lesson thinking, wow, God's pretty mean, isn't he? No, no, no. Take the word pretty out of there and put abundantly. God is abundantly good. But whenever we choose to turn our back on God, look at verse 45, and this one is on the screen. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you. Remember the blessings? Before you've been able to comprehend this curse that's come upon you, upon your herds and on your flocks, because those are the things that are repeated in that cut and paste section. Upon your bodies, on the fruit of your bodies, upon your houses, upon your kneading boards, upon your basket, on all of the things that you have. Before that plague, before that curse comes, there'll be another one that's going to overtake you. And like there are blessings, and there are so many blessings, you cannot even begin to appreciate and count the blessings that you have. The curses are going to overtake. There's going to be one wave of cursing after another. Next time you stand by the beach and you see that wave as it comes in, and it hardly reaches to the shore until there's another wave headed right behind it, and another wave, and another wave. Don't you look at those waves in the ocean without seeing in them. That's how God said he will bless us. Not physically necessarily, but that's the way he says he's blessed us, because his nature hasn't changed. And he says to them, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord upon you, look at verse 46. It'll be on the screen. And they, all of these plagues shall be upon you for a sign. What's a sign? I've got a sign on my hand. It's on my finger. It's on my ring finger. You know what that is? That's a message. And the Lord says, whenever he's bringing all these curses upon you, they will be a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever. Now we're going to talk about, what did the Jews do? How many of the prophets died of old age? Similar kind of question. We know the answer to this one, and it's not many, is it? How many of the apostles did not face martyrdom? When God looked at what they had done to his son, Matthew 24, I will send on this earth the worst tribulation that there's ever been since the beginning of time till the end of time. And that is a sign. And what God has done and the cursings he's brought on the Jewish nation are a sign even unto us. We're about to show that in just a minute. And we're about to explain some of the things that are happening politically in this land and in this world. Why did it come about? Because they listened to the wrong if. Not the if that is followed by the blessings, but the if and the cursings that follow that second if. And the Lord says, you can look at this nation, and it will be a sign, not of marriage, it'll be a sign of God and his justice and the surety of his, of what he does to mankind. It will be a sign to all mankind of what happens if you don't do what God says. Go back again to the word every word, to the word all, to the word any. And don't tell me that when we pick up this book, we don't have not just the Word of God, but the words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's go down to verse 49. We're leaving out some of the verses just because of the matter of time. If we had time, we would look at all of these verses. The Lord will bring a nation from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle, a nation whose language you will not understand. And this very expression, a nation you do not understand, is mentioned in the book of Romans. Do you know the insignia of the Roman army? It was the eagle. And he says, if you don't do this, watch out for the eagles. They're coming as swift as that. And then he says, and you will be scattered. Look at verse 53. You shall eat the fruit of your own bodies. You will eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters whom the Lord has given you in the siege and the desperate straits in which enemies shall distress you. When in AD 70 that Roman army came down bringing the worst tribulation on that nation that had killed the Son of God, worst tribulation there's ever been or ever would be. There's a Jewish historian, not a Christian. We have the writings of a man by the name of Josephus, who was an eyewitness of all of the suffering that went on in that city. And he vividly describes a woman, even gives her name. She was Mary. He gives the city she was from so people who lived at that time could identify her. And she had a son. And she cooked the son. And Josephus describes this in detail. And I'm thankful for the writings of Josephus because we have an appreciation of what God does. Not written by a believer, but written by an observer of the worst tribulation there's ever been. And people were starving. They were eating anything that moved. There were hardly any varmints left in the city. They were chewing the leather. You're talking about beef jerky? They were chewing the leather. There's no sustenance there. They were eating the hay that the cattle, had they been alive, might have eaten. And they were eating dung, manure. Why? If you don't obey God, you begin looking at these verses, and whenever you get to this point that says, your sons and your daughters. He says, in verse 54, I don't have this here, but I'm reading it from the text. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward his wife, and toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind. I'm starving so much that if I find a morsel of food, I won't even let my children have it. I won't let my wife have it. So that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you in your gates. That's amazing. He mentions in the next verse, the woman who would not venture out, you know, out of a door on the ground because of her properness, her delicateness, and her sensibility, will refuse the husband of her bosom and his sons and his daughter when she finds food. And if you look at verse 57 and read verse 57, that's how desperate they were. I do not choose to read it because of the young children who are here. Can you imagine that? If you do not carefully follow verse 58, carefully observe all, see that word all of the words of the law which are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of Jehovah your God. But if you don't, verse 64, that's on the screen, then the Lord will scatter you among all the people from one end to another. After the city was destroyed, there was another emperor, not the next emperor, another Caesar, not the one that was there when the city was restored, not even Vespasian or Titus, his son, a fellow by the name of Hadrian. And the Senate passed a law that no Jew was to ever come to Judah again. Why? I'm going to scatter you from one end of the heaven, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have served. And among those nations, listen to this, you shall find no rest. You want to talk about the Holocaust? You want to talk about the anti-Semitic feelings there are? And then he says, you will find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. The Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of souls. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Have you seen the news? You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. And then he says, not on the screen, but verse 67, you will be so unhappy that in the morning you shall say, oh, I wish it were evening. There's no happiness in this morning. And in the evening you'd say, oh, I wish it were morning. There's no happiness in this. And then he says early in this chapter, and you shall be a hiss and a byword. You know what a byword is? It's a term of contempt. And everywhere you go, that's what you can expect. What would you do? Die, and what would you do if they killed your son? You know what God did? He darkened the skies and darkened the heavens and heard his son cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Young people, you may not remember Gene Puckett, Amber Denise's dad. He said something in this church I shall never forget. I don't know if it was original with him or not. He said, in a lesson class he was teaching, a comment he made in a class. God could have chosen to have saved his son, but he chose to save you. Open your eyes. Look at the world, and read Deuteronomy 28. No rest of your feet. How many battles have there been in your lifetime that involved that nation? And they're trying to find peace and tranquility. When the government officials in 1948 said, we're going to rebuild that place, they've had no rest day or night. And everywhere they've gone, they've been a hiss and a byword. This is not an anti-Semitic sermon. It's what God said. And just calling on all of us to look up to the God who said, I will give you, Christians, my providence. My eyes will always be over you, and my ears will always be open to your prayers. And I promise you that if you love the Lord, listen to this, I will work everything that happens in your life. Work together so it'll be a blessing. That which devastates the world, and they throw up their hands into despair and say, it's over. That's not what happens. That's not what happens. When we die, it's over. No. It's just begun. You want those spiritual blessings? You want a relationship with Jesus? The one who was on the cross? The one who willingly, because it was not the nails that held him to the cross. Talking about the love of God. It was the love of Jesus. For at any time he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. And he didn't do it. You'll not have that blessing if you don't obey the gospel, if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you don't repent, and that is to turn away from self-willed stubbornness and say to Jesus, as he said in Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done in life. That's repentance. When I get out of the driver's seat, say, your will be done. And then how blessed I am when he's made the promise. If you'll confess me before men, someday I will confess you before my Father. He'll do that for you. Before you're baptized, you need to say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus said, you make that confession, let me tell you what I will do. I'm going to put my name in this sentence. You put your name in it. Because I have stood and I've said I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has promised, someday, Dan, I will stand before the Father and his angels, and I will say to my Father, I believe with all of my heart that Dan is your son. Let him come on in. But you got to deal with sin. That blood that was shed for us was shed in His death, and we are baptized into His death. That's where you're going to touch His blood, in His death. And that's why the Bible says baptism saves us. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is there. And then you're forgiven. And God's then made promises to you, not for physical blessings. Think of how the early church suffered, and think of how they were blessed, and how they are in such a blessed state right this very minute. And how blessing it, what a blessing it is to those of us at Palm Beach Lakes who have in recent weeks said goodbye to some people. And like we saw them in this building, we said, I'll see you again. We said goodbye to members of this church. And we can say to them, I will see you again. But you can't be a Christian. Can we help you become a Christian? If you're a Christian, there's sin in your life. What can we do to help you? If you need this church to help you in any way, then you need to come down these aisles right now, while together we stand and sing. Will you come?